It's time to be amazed by something new, and I hope that's true for you as well.
Welcome to Midlife Mixtape, the podcast. I'm Nancy Davis Coe, and we're here to talk about the years between being hip and breaking one.
Where do I belong? Tell me why I'm here and what's taking this long. When can I move on?
Still looking for holiday presents or thinking about how to roll into 2022 in a better frame of mind? May I humbly suggest my book, The Thank You Project, Cultivating Happiness, One Letter of Gratitude at a Time, from Running Press. Back in December 2015, as I was rounding the bend into my 50th birthday year, I decided I would write one thank you letter each week to someone who had helped, shaped, or inspired me, little expecting how the experience would profoundly change my life for the better. The resilience and comfort I gained in writing those letters has been so helpful when times have been hard in the pandemic, and I wrote a book that's a blueprint for how you can write these letters yourselves. Since the Thank You Project came out 2 years ago, I've learned from readers that it's a pro move to buy the book as a gift, write a thank you letter to the recipient, and tuck it into the cover as part of the gift. It starts a whole ripple effect of gratitude. You can find or order The Thank You Project through your favorite local bookseller or online. And hey, the ebook and audio versions are definitely not affected by supply chain issues. See, say, and savor your way to a happier new year with The Thank You Project. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the final episode of the Midlife Mixtape Podcast. Surprise! I'm Nancy Davis Coe, the host and creator of this show, although once this episode airs, I suppose technically I'm the former host. I wanted to start today's show by explaining what's up, and don't worry, it's nothing bad. And then I'm going to do my level best to summarize what I've learned about making any stage of life better from 110 episodes worth of conversations with guests who are doing amazing things at midlife. So if this is the first time you're tuning in, consider this the Cliff Notes version of 4.5 years of the Midlife Mixtape Podcast. By the way, while normally I always include a transcript in the show notes for my episodes, this one is going to be audio only. I started off talking in your ears in May 2017, and that's how I want to wrap things up. First, yes, I have decided to sunset this show. I like that word sunset better than stop or terminate or kill or something so final and negative, because the vibe for this episode is less sad goodbye and more of a gentle farewell in the origin sense of that word. Fare thee well, you know? I came to the decision this fall, and in the spirit of my conversation in episode 84 with therapist Maisie Robinson, I wanted to tell you why. She and I talked in autumn 2020 about how the pandemic was affecting people's mental health and how helpful it can be to acknowledge the duality in which we often find ourselves, especially at midlife. Things can be going great in some ways, and things can also be really hard at the same time. And I'm sharing how that played out for me in the hopes that if you are also sitting with that duality, you won't feel so alone. Or as my sweet friend Lori said to me recently, everyone's mental health is in the bag right now. So in this fall of 2021, I have had a lot of great things. Our eldest daughter is living at home with us and working at a job she loves, and my husband and I are loving the extra unexpected time with her back in the nest. We never thought we would have that. The youngest daughter, meanwhile, has finally been back on campus long enough that she's regained the momentum lost when she had to come home and do college online partway through her freshman year. In fact, next quarter, all her classes are in person for the first time since 2019. What's that adage? You're only as happy as your saddest kid. All of you who are parents know how true that has been in the past 21 months, and why we feel the blessing of having our kids emerging into something more like a normal, though clearly not completely normal, world. And of course, we added little rescue dog / poundhound Arlo to the family, and he's brought goofy new energy to the general proceedings. I would add that the final Daniel Craig James Bond movie was an extraordinarily satisfying ride to me. Oh my God, it was such a good way to bookend his time in that role. And the fact that I got to see it in a theater that requires masks and vax cards made it even more so. But at the same time, many of you know that I lost my sweet mom last December 2020. Yesterday was, in fact, the one-year anniversary of her passing. And mom's death was made 1,000 times worse because I couldn't even get home to New York in her last weeks due to COVID travel restrictions. Now, she was cared for so beautifully by my big sister in her home, and she transitioned so peacefully with both my siblings with her. But I've never felt so far away from my family in my life. I miss my mom viscerally every single day. I dream of her all the time, really vividly. In fact, I just had a dream where I forgot to pack my hiking boots for a big trek, and my mom said, "Don't worry, I'll hang out with you instead," an offer I gladly accepted. So the grief over my mom's death and my inability to witness her passing in person has been a lot to carry. A few months after mom died, my boss at this very small consultancy where I work also died from cancer, which was a diagnosis he hadn't shared widely. So it was a total shock to me to lose someone I spoke to nearly every day for the past 8 years. And not just spoke to, but considered a friend, someone I looked up to and respected so deeply. I hadn't learned nearly as much as I planned to yet from Randy. So more grief, plus a whole lot of extra work, because everyone in our close-knit company has tried really hard since March to make sure our clients continue to get the service they deserve. But brief aside for anybody who is curious what exactly I do in my day job, I work for this company that helps magazine publishers find partners who pay them for the right to redistribute their stories. Or as I like to think about it, we generate revenue that helps high-quality journalism survive. We're all doing this work in honor and memory of Randy, whose wisdom and wonderful sense of humor we miss. And I'm one of those people who is a servant to my Outlook task list. So every now and again, I get a pop-up reminder I set months ago saying, ask Randy about agreement renewal strategy or talk to Randy about trade shows. And once again, I'm just like floored all over again that he's not there. Add in the emotion and stress of gathering the whole family for my mom's memorial service that we were finally able to hold at the end of summer. And by September, I was just starting to feel completely, completely worn out. No energy, no joy, like hard to get out of bed days. I think I've been depressed for a lot of this fall. Actually, I don't think I have been. My pandemic therapist that I started seeing during the pandemic tells me, indeed, I have been. So I tried to listen to my instincts about what I needed to change in order to feel more like myself again. And one thing kept jumping out at me. I just want to not work so hard right now. You can laugh at me if you want. It's fine. But plain and simple, I'm 55 years old. I've been working my butt off on something every minute of every day for at least 4 decades. And I just want to have a little breathing room in my schedule to make space for all these big feelings to finally work their way out. I just have this overwhelming sense that it's time to be fallow for a little while, to leave room for something new and wonderful and maybe completely unexpected to take root. Now, I love this podcast, but with the exception of my wonderful transcriptionist, Maureen, I do every dang bit of it. It's in part because I like having control over the final product, but mainly it's because I really enjoy doing all the interview research and the recording and the editing and the promoting. I've learned so many new skills in the past 5 years that I've been doing this. I can't ever express how cool it is to have had access to such smart, accomplished people on the other end of the interview answering questions that little old Nancy, they have thought up and imposing to them. But at the end of the day, it takes a ton of time, and that is the main resource I'm lacking right now. The other thing is, I like the idea of sunsetting the show when it's still going strong versus during a sad downhill slide where everyone's talking about it behind my back. And if you're doing that now, can you just do me a favor and keep it to yourself? I've always had the best listeners, as you will know if you have heard any of the Listener's Stories episodes where I compile the stories you all send in to me about your first job, your first concert, your Gen X summer memories. But right now I also have the most listeners I've ever had, enough that this show is actually considered to be in the top 10% of podcasts by download numbers, at least by some measures. So back to the duality, I can be both proud of this show and ready to release it to make room for something new. I've always kind of known what's coming next, and if you listen to episode 110, I always knew what the next step was on my life map. So I think part of the lesson I have to learn right now is to just not know, to explore and see where various paths might lead and not know the end point. But before I do, I want to share with you the big lessons of the Midlife Mixtape podcast, what I've learned from my 100-plus guests since 2017 about how to make the years between being hip and breaking one the best they can be. You know, I end every episode by asking, what do you wish you could go back and tell your younger self? And I want to reiterate that the responses to that question aren't just meant for millennials and Gen Zs who may be tuning in and are staring down the barrel of midlife. After all, every single person listening right now is the younger version of yourself compared to who you'll be tomorrow. So I hope that everyone listening to this episode finds something useful in the 8 lessons I have learned. Lesson number 1, it's never too late to try something new. You can always make a change. This is the piece of advice I find myself giving to teenagers in my life all the time. We have these kids so conditioned to think that the path they pick at 18 or 22 is the be-all and end-all, when really, it just needs to be the next best choice. I don't know if you pay as much attention to this as I do, but if you go to midlifemixtape.com and click on the podcast tab, you'll see that all the interviews I've done are divided into one of six mixes. I'm air quoting mixes, which should make you hate me. One of the mixes is called Long Way Round, where I've interviewed people who may have started in one place and ended up in a completely different profession or vocation by their 40s or 50s. There's my friend Andrew Hibble in episode 83, who started off in the military and later became a priest. And by the way, Andrew's now in grad school at UCSF in a clinical psychology program. There's Kathy Sever in episode 24, who held a number of different jobs before finding bliss as a chain stitch wrangler with her company Fort Lonesome, which does amazing custom embroidery that you see on so many celebrities. There's the wonderful Taya Dunn Johnson from episode 104, who's currently studying to be a thanatologist. If you don't know what that is, go listen to episode 104. She started a completely new path in midlife. And when I turn the interview mic over to my dear friend, author Mary Laura Philpott, in episode 68, so she could interview me about the Thank You Project, I tag my own episode into this category too. I worked in international business for 15 years before I ever started writing, and it was 10 more years before I started the podcast. Do you think I or any of these people expected to be doing what we're doing now? No. Do you think all the various experiences we gathered in the earlier parts of our careers have helped us to get to this place? Absolutely. You are not locked in. You can always make a change and follow a passion. A meandering path is not something to be feared if each change means moving in the direction of something that suits you better now. Lesson number two has to do with lesson number one. Let go of perfectionism and just get started. You will never get better if you're afraid to leave the starting line. Did you ever read Kathy Valentine's wonderful memoir, All I Ever Wanted? Kathy's the bass player for the Go-Go's, and she was my guest on episode 23. First off, I have to say this. One of the things we talked about in that episode from February 18 was what a royal ripoff it was that the best-selling all-female rock band of all time hadn't yet been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Fast forward 3 years, and if you haven't seen the clip of Drew Barrymore inducting the Go-Go's into the Hall of Fame, it's so worth seeking out. You can watch the whole ceremony on HBO right now. Finally. Anyway, I digress. Fun fact, in 1981, Kathy was offered an audition for the Go-Go's as their bass player, which was awesome, except for the fact that she didn't play bass. She had played guitar for 5 years, but not bass. So in three days, she taught herself the bass line on all their songs. And I'll be real, I read her book. It was the 80s and it was LA, and there were prodigious amounts of blow involved. So maybe don't do it that way. Give yourself longer than 3 days. But the point is, Kathy saw the opportunity and she went after it. And even if she wasn't perfect at first, she got better. And now she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bim, bam, boom. I didn't even know where to plug in my podcast mic when I started this show. Now I help new podcasters figure out how to get started all the time. And the main thing I tell them is, you're gonna be terrified when your show launches, and your first episode will not be your best episode. But you won't get to your best episode if you don't drop that first one. Lesson number three, don't worry about what everyone else thinks. You'd be surprised how few people are actually paying attention to you. My mom tried to teach me this years ago when I was a self-conscious teenager, but it didn't really sink in until middle age. All of us are so conditioned to worry that we're embarrassing ourselves, that everyone will judge us. Else, why would all the face-tuning filters exist on Instagram? I often wonder about conversations where a brutally honest 7-year-old grandchild says to his grandma, "Hey, Mima, why do you have dolphin skin and big cheekbones in this picture? And where's the soft lap I love to sit on?" But the truth of it is, you know how you're busy and distracted and you wish you had 3 more hours in the day? Yeah, so does everyone else. They're not thinking about you because they don't have time. And let's face it, if you're a woman, and especially if you're a woman in middle age, they're really not thinking about you. That invisibility can feel insulting, or it can feel like a gift. Dance like no one is watching? Why would you stop there? Start a nonprofit like no one is watching. Get up at an open mic comedy night and do a bit like no one is watching. Get the tattoo or the haircut or the cowboy boots you always wanted like no one is watching, because chances are they're not, and you'll be out there doing all the things you really wanted to do. Michelle Fishburne, my guest in episode 99, jumped into an RV and started interviewing people about life in the pandemic, and her book about that journey, her first book, comes out next year. Jeff Harry from episode 92 is a play expert who helps companies create more humane work environments through play. And just the other day, I was out on the trail with my dog Arlo and ran into my episode 87 guest, Joanna Bluer, who is a potentialist, someone who helps her clients figure out their unique magic, or as she puts it, she's a fairy godmother who helps you figure out your ball. Invent your own title, your own career, your own whatever. Don't worry what anyone else thinks. Number four, your voice deserves to be heard. You have a story to tell and a talent to share, whoever you are. Representation, representation, representation. So many of the guests on this show and authors whose work I've highlighted have done the work to diversify the chorus of voices in the world. When there is only one point of view dominating the discourse, we don't get to appreciate the beautiful kaleidoscope of human experience. And when we share our own stories, especially if ours is one of the underrepresented ones, we're giving a gift. I think about ballerina Aisha Ash in episode 39, who founded the Swan Dreams program to show aspiring Black and Brown dancers that there could be a role for them in the professional ballet world. I think about drummer Michelle Gonzalez all the way back in episode 2, sharing the story of her life as a Latina punk rock drummer in her memoir, Spitboy Rule, and again when she talked to me about what it's like to go back into the music studio at midlife and reconnect with the band from her youth. Rue Mapp, the founder of Outdoor Afro and my guest for episode 31, has made it her life's work to reconnect and strengthen the relationship between nature and communities of color with local events and meetups to ensure that Black people have access, representation, meaningful participation, and quality experiences in the outdoors. This is, frankly, the area that makes it hardest for me to stop this show because there are so many other stories I wish I could have shared with you using this platform, modest as it is, to elevate voices that aren't heard often enough. I'll just implore you to support those voices that haven't had a chance to tell their stories. Buy their books, buy their albums, go to their art exhibits and movies. I'm passing the baton to you now. And what's your story to tell? Maybe you can be a writer, podcaster, sure, but maybe you can be someone's mentor. Maybe you can be a little more forthcoming in your friend group about the truths of your life instead of pretending everything's Instagram perfect, meemaw. People want so badly to know that they're not the only ones feeling whatever it is they're feeling. So by being open and occasionally even vulnerable, you can give them that gift. Four lessons down, four to go. Okay, number five, community is crucial. I mean, if the interview with Ken Smith of the Stanford Center on Longevity for episode 110 didn't convince you on this one, when I asked this new map of life researcher what his biggest takeaway was from the study, he said it was that he needed to work harder to create community in the work-centric Silicon Valley where he lives. Ken told us that research shows loneliness has the same detrimental effect as smoking when it comes to quality of aging. I've been honored to interview so many people whose midlife calling is to create that community. I mentioned Rue Mapp and Outdoor Afro, but there's also episode 35 guest Ann Immig, who founded the Listen to Your Mother's Stage reading series in her hometown of Madison, Wisconsin, and expanded it to become an international phenomenon designed to give motherhood the mic. So every Mother's Day for years across the country, casts in each city where Listen to Your Mother takes place share the good, the bad, and the ugly around having a mom, being a mom, all other things mom-related. There's Holly and Megan from Dry Together in episode 108, who created an online community for moms in midlife who want to live alcohol-free, but who may not have a local group of friends in the same boat. They meet up online to explore what it means to live AF and to support one another in their efforts. Where's your community? I hope you have one locally, but if you don't, check out meetups, check out volunteer opportunities, check out Nextdoor if you can navigate around the posts where everyone is talking about how the neighborhood's completely gone to hell or alternatively wants to give away a half jar of peanut butter. Or use the internet for good, not evil. Seek out a community online with similar interests, whether it's a Facebook group, private network, a group of podcast listeners. Make the effort to engage with them. One of my most reliable communities, one of the biggest places I go for support, is a group text of humor writers who light up my phone all day, every day. I would be lost without my tiny texters. And here's a tip, because I know it can feel really weird to put yourself out like that. Focus not on what you want from the community, but on what you have to offer someone else. Whether you're walking into an IRL networking event or trying to engage online, I think if you start from a place of how you can be helpful or informative to someone else, rather than focusing on what you need to get out of it, the pressure just dissipates. It just makes everything so much easier. Number six, speaking of things that make everything easier, gratitude makes everything easier. I mean, come on, did you think this was not going to be in my list? I literally wrote a book on gratitude and why making a deliberate effort every day to find something to be grateful for can rewire your brain to make it easier and more efficient to keep doing that. The book's called The Thank You Project. Have you heard of it? You guys are probably like, thank God she's stopping the podcast. I don't have to keep hearing her sell it. Even having experienced the myriad physical and psychological benefits that derive from a deliberate expression of gratitude, first when I wrote my thank you letters and secondly when I wrote a book about it, even then I learned something new when Christy Nelson, the director of the Network for Grateful Living and author of Wake Up Grateful, came onto the show for episode 105. Christy was a stage 4 cancer survivor who was super grateful to be alive for about 3 years after the disease went into remission, and then, haha, she was human. Christy began to take it all for granted again. So she took herself in hand and looked at ways to infuse gratefulness into each day, acknowledging that it's a practice, not something you tick off your list as completed. The practice is to stop, get perspective, and then move back into your life more gratefully. Or as Christy put it, it's not whether the glass is half empty or half full. It's remembering to be grateful you have a glass. Here's my advice. Pause this podcast and think of 3 good things in your life to be grateful for, large or small. 3 good things. Spend a second appreciating them and then come back and hit play. I'll wait for you. Right now, stop. Are you back? Okay, you just did the work to literally rewire your brain to focus on positive things in your life. Keep it up. Do it again, whenever. Lesson number 7. Pick something to care about that's bigger than you, but don't beat yourself up for not caring about everything. When I asked singer-songwriter Bob Schneider the "What advice would you give your younger self?" question in episode 106, you may recall that he would give a big truth bomb and then say, "Scratch that, here's what I would tell my younger self." And then we mutually decided to leave all of it in because it was too messy to edit. Anyway, one of the things Bob said was, "Find something besides yourself to love." And that's what I'm talking about here. Find something to care about that helps the wider world somehow. Plant a native pollinator garden, volunteer at your local food bank, sign up to phone bank for a candidate whose views align with your own. And by the way, that does not need to be a big name national politician. School boards and city council members may matter just as much, if not more. And in fact, let me take my own advice here for 1 second and ask you to support our friend Jimmy Wilson, who's running for district attorney here in Alameda County. I know Jimmy and his wife Trish through our kids who all went to high school together, and I know that Jimmy's worked tirelessly for justice as a deputy district attorney for over 16 years, seeing firsthand what's working, what isn't, and he understands the changes necessary in the criminal justice system to prioritize fairness and safety. By the way, you want a midlife hook here? Jimmy was a plumber for 15 years until he entered UC Berkeley at age 40 to study criminal justice. So Alameda County voters and anyone else who wants to learn more and support Jimmy, just go to JimmyWilsonForDA.com, and I'll leave a link in the show notes. This idea of caring for something beyond yourself, frankly, I think it's the admission price for being part of humanity. We're all here to do something bigger than just birth, school, work, death. What's the thing that you feel good about doing that will give you a chance to have an impact of any size? That's the intersection you want. And here's the flip side. You physically and mentally cannot care about all the things that need attention right now in this broken world. And if you start panicking about not being also able to save democracy and support educational justice and get racial covenants out of your neighborhoods, and what about the polar bears? You risk paralysis. And that is the one thing we cannot afford, for everyone being so concerned about everything all the time that they end up doing nothing. Pick a thing. Maybe 2. You're smart people with good time management skills, but not much more than that. And then put your heart into it. And the final lesson I've learned, number 8, maintain your sense of humor. Here's what I know. We are traveling the length of our lives for some indeterminate amount of time, so we can take every bad thing dead seriously, you know, aim straight for the potholes and nestle in there, or we can try to smooth our paths somehow so we enjoy ourselves as we go, and laughter is the best way I know to do that. My God, I've had some funny conversations on this show with people whose work is dead serious. It's part of why I asked that concert question at the beginning, to set the tone for them, for me, and for you. We're going to have fun while we talk about aging parents with Dr. Leslie Kernison in episode 94, or about climate change with Dr. Claudia Benitez-Nelson of Science Moms in episode 102, or with Being Black at School founder Kelly Wickham Hurst in episode 72. I think my dear friend, humor writer Wendy Aaron said it best in episode 29. One of my favorite humor adages is, humor is best used as a rubber sword, meaning that you make your point without drawing blood. You can make a serious point with humor that might be hard to hear otherwise, and it's okay to use humor to make hard parts of your own life bearable. If you're looking for an episode of this show to make you laugh, check out episode 63 with feminist Muslim Iranian-American comedian Zara Nurbakhsh. She was so bad at mental math, you guys. It was hilarious. Or dial it all the way back to episode 3 with Oakland comedian Corinda Dobbins. I'm also going to drop a video into the show notes that I consider the funniest skit I have ever seen in my life. I've watched it conservatively 798 times, and I still laugh just as hard every single time. Use it medicinally. It'll be in the show notes. That's it. 8 lessons. And when you've learned those, you just go back to number 1. It's never too late to try something new. So this podcast has been amazing, and I wanted to give a really hearty and deliberate thanks to some special people, starting with Kyle Cherisi, the Berkeley singer-songwriter who performs as M, the heir apparent, and wrote the wonderful music that I've used in every single episode. I want to thank all the sponsors like Kindra and Golden Voice and the San Mateo County Fair. Their financial support meant that I could pay the podcast bills for hosting, and I only ever worked with sponsors whose products and services I truly believed could be of value to you, the listeners. Because I've occasionally remembered to get sponsors, I never did anything like Patreon or a tip jar. But I'll say this, if you've gotten any entertainment value from this show over the years, you could donate an equivalent amount to an organization that supports voter rights, like Fair Fight or Take Action Minnesota, or Georgia's Asian American Advocacy Fund, or in Wisconsin, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, BLOC. BLOC's executive director, Angela Lang, was a guest on this show. Making sure everyone who has the right to vote has access to a ballot is one of my things to care about. So it would mean a lot to me to know that the show has generated financial support for, well, sustaining our democracy. To every one of the guests who has come on this show, what an honor and a freak-out privilege to have talked to you all. One category in particular, how in the name of God was I allowed to interview Teddy Thompson and Bob Schneider and Kathy Valentine and Frank Orrell and more, all artists whose concerts I've paid to watch from the audience many, many times. It is a mystery. And to you, the listeners, I want to thank you most of all. Now I'm going into my Wizard of Oz speech. I really do, though. I want to thank you most of all for listening to the show and sharing it with your friends and getting in touch to let me know what you think. I'm going to miss this connection we had. There's no question about it. I'm going to be stepping back from social media for a while after this, too, making it a real break. Oh, by the way, if you're on my Christmas card list, no Christmas cards from the Coast this year. I'm giving myself a break of that, too. But if you'd like to stay in touch, and I truly hope you do, head on over to davisko.com, davisko.com, and sign up for my email list at the bottom of the page. Frankly, I'm hoping to have nothing to share with you for quite a while. But if and when things start to pick up, that's where it'll happen first. And you can always go to midlifemixtape.com to sign up as a subscriber there. Again, I don't think I'm going to be doing much, but hey, at least you'll know where to find me. It's time to be amazed by something new, and I hope that's true for you as well. Thank you so much for spending time with me and the Midlife Mixtape Podcast.
I don't want to be this, don't want to be that. Don't want to give up, I want to give back. I want to be free by whatever means. Whatever you want from me, I want to be. Don't want to be this, don't want to be that. Don't want to give up, I want to give back. I want to be free by whatever means. Whatever you want from me, I want to be. I want to be free by whatever.